Tonight's sermon, Peace Between the Religions. Until there is peace between religions, there can be no peace in the world. This famous quote was given by Thich Nhat Hanh, a Vietnamese Buddhist monk and peace activist, who is also known as the father of mindfulness, as he helped bring over the practice of mindful meditation in the West, or to the West. In the news, of course, there is so much going on around war and fighting, particularly between religious groups. And unfortunately, there's nothing new about that. But it dawned on me, I work at a college, as we all know, and I've been getting these lovely announcements about it's Ramadan. Please be extra patient with your students who may be fasting. Easter is coming up. Some students may want to be taking Good Friday, Passover. And it was this reminder that over the next month, we will celebrate three very important religious observations: Easter, Passover, and Ramadan. So for Christians, as we all know, Easter celebrates the resurrection of Jesus and through his selfless act of sacrifice, the forgiveness of our sins. Easter is a time for Christians to feel gratitude for God's awesome capacity for forgiveness, love, and acceptance. It is a time to be made new again, to be washed clean of spiritual darkness so that we can receive the Christ consciousness in our hearts, minds, and souls. For Jews, Passover celebrates the Jewish people's freedom and liberation from slavery in Egypt. During Passover, they remember and recite the story from the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, when God led them out of bondage in Egypt through his prophet Moses. A great story where Moses parts the Red Sea. A story that reminds us that nothing is impossible for God. And when we can see no path forward, God can open a path. And for Muslims, Ramadan celebrates the revelation of the Quran, their holy scripture, given to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, through Archangel Gabriel. It is a time when Muslims fast, drawing closer to God, cultivating self-control, gratitude, and compassion for those less fortunate. While each of these holidays has different religious significance to their practitioners, they all serve as a reminder to the followers of each religion of their commitment to their faith and to the God that they worship. It is a time for people to become renewed in their faith, to turn their attention to God, and to remember, as Sheree said last week, that God is bigger than any of the challenges we may face. As the Passover story reminds us, if God can liberate an entire people out of slavery and bondage, he certainly can liberate each of us from our own personal bondages. At the core, therefore, Easter, Passover, Ramadan, or a renewal, a resurrection, if you will, of our faith and commitment to God. So in that spirit, I wanted to share what resurrection might look like in each of our lives. And I found the following passage from a Catholic writer named Megan McKenna from a book that she wrote called Not Counting Women and Children, The Neglected Stories from the Bible. So this what I'm going to read now is from Megan McKenna. Once in a parish mission, when I was studying scripture with a large group, someone called out harshly, "Have you ever brought someone back from the dead?" I had been saying that life happens when we are interrupted, and that some of the most powerful acts of resurrection happen to the least likely people. that we are the people of resurrection and hope, called to live passionately and compassionately with others, to defy death, to forgive, and to bring others back into the community. And my response was, yes. I went on to say, every time I bring hope into a situation, every time I bring joy that shatters despair, every time I forgive others and give them back dignity and the possibility of a future with me and others in the community, every time I listen to others and affirm them and their life, every time I speak the truth in public, every time I confront injustice, yes, I bring people back from the dead. And personally, I love that description of resurrection. When I think of resurrection, of course, I'm drawn to the powerful story of Jesus's resurrection and what that means for all of us and me personally. But I can forget that word resurrection can also mean bringing like a rebirth, bringing ourselves back to something. And this simple act of forgiving ourselves, forgiving others, bringing joy to others also can bring someone back to life. So Megan McKenna then goes on to list some ways that we can practice resurrection in our daily lives. And I'll just read you some of these. She had a very long list. Her book is lovely. Give your full attention to whatever you are doing, and you'll recognize the constant renewal of life all around you. Leave the past to God's mercy. Leave the future to God's discretion. Living in the present moment, the only time when God brings forth new life, is a way of affirming your belief in resurrection. Whenever you, with compassion, open your heart, mind, and soul to the pain of the world, you help bring suffering beings back into the land of the living. When you cultivate the art of making connections with others, the walls of separation come crashing down and new life can spring up out of the rubble. When you regularly pray for others as part of your devotional activities, you are practicing resurrection. Every time you forgive someone, another resurrection is in the making. Every time you accept God's grace in your life and see it in the world around you, your own resurrection is in the making. Practice gratitude, and you will be slaying the death-dealing forces of boredom, despair, and taking things for granted. Bring hope to someone in despair. Bring healing to those in conflict, and you are contributing to the ongoing resurrection. When you add even a small portion of joy to the lives of those around you, you bring resurrection into your community. Your work for justice, freedom, and equality sets the stage for resurrection. When you feed the hungry and stand up for the oppressed, you are a life giver. Nurture yourself. Eat right, exercise, get plenty of rest, and you are helping God resurrect your body. When you stay open to all people and situations, you affirm your belief that all things can be made new. Every peace treaty that you sign with someone who was once your enemy is a sign of resurrection. When you practice reverence for life, you can't help but notice all the little resurrections going on all around you, the continual process of creation on earth. Studying spiritual teachers can point you on the path of resurrection, showing you texts and mentors to jumpstart your journey. Work together with those who are trying to make the world a more just and decent place. This unity practice is a mark of resurrection. Every time you bring to life another's sense of wonder and affirm that you are all standing on holy ground, you practice resurrection. by giving voice to your yearning and acting upon your desire to feel the closeness of God, you invite resurrection into your life. And finally, practice resurrection with zeal. Be aroused by life and cherish every moment as a gift from the one who renews us day by day. So as we move into these holy weeks, the Christian weeks of Lent leading up to Good Friday and Easter, where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, in the weeks of Ramadan, leading up to Eid, the joyous celebration that marks the end of Ramadan's fast, and the week of Passover, which ends with prayers and the retelling of the story of liberation from slavery. May we ask that God soften our hearts and help us to see our similarities more than our differences. As a Christian, I can be focused on the powerful story of Easter, the sacrifice of Jesus, the forgiveness of my sins, and the renewal of my spirit, while also sending love to my Jewish and Muslim sisters and brothers as they deepen their faith and commitment to God at this special time. So I wish each one of us a happy Easter, a happy Passover, and a happy Eid this spring.